Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about my recent teaching trip to Toronto. I'll tell you about an incredible breakthrough that I saw, and some interesting observations about actors and acting. I'll explain. All right, before I get started, I'd like to remind all of you in Vancouver that I will be coming there September 29th and 30th, Saturday and Sunday. That's just in about 2 weeks. And I'll be doing a two-day seminar for those of you in Vancouver. If you'd like to join, just email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. So I just got back from Toronto. I was there for about 2.5 weeks, and I was offering classes Sunday through Thursdays twice a day. So there was an afternoon class and an evening class, and I did this to maximize my time while I was in Toronto visiting, so that a lot of my former students and new students could get in scene study classes and be able to jump in whenever they wanted. And it seemed to work out very well. I mean, you could take one, two classes, you could pay for them individually, you could buy a block of four. And then some people opted for the unlimited and basically came to almost every single one. And I think there was about 20. And it was a great experience. And I think because I was able to see this influx of so many new actors, you know, coming in with all the best intentions, you know, these are people that had been listening to the podcast or I suppose got a high recommendation. They showed up, they were really ready to go. And it was interesting to see so many actors back to back that I'd never worked with before, and to see those traits, those things that they bring into my room that I see, but now so many stacked back to back, I have some observations. I want to start off with this story about what I consider to be really one of the true great breakthroughs that I've witnessed in my 38 years of teaching. Maybe there was another one like this. I don't recall it. And certainly people have made vast progress in classes that I've taught. You know, sometimes it's almost like flipping a switch for people. You know, you point them in the direction of the light and then they just go. And I've seen that. But to me, when I hear the phrase breakthrough, I always think that, well, it's, you know, an action that would warrant that kind of a buildup. I mean, a breakthrough to me has always seemed something very big. Not just that you know, figured out what acting maybe was in a more real sense and got it and something clicked, or that you found your voice even and finally stood up on stage and started doing scenes, perhaps a shy person before, now not so much. Those things, while I think they're fabulous when they occur, I always imagined a breakthrough was something bigger. And so when I heard about people having breakthroughs, but what they actually were those situations in acting classes where the teacher digs at some healed over scar, something from your past that was just wretched, and gets you to talk about it in class. And then, of course, you know, living through that moment, talking about that moment in front of a bunch of more or less strangers, you know, you start to cry, and then the teacher quickly says, all right, now do the scene, play the scene. And then you're kind of really highly emotionally tuned while you're doing the scene, and the scene now has a little more snap, crackle, pop, plus lots of tears. And then they usually award that with the, you had a breakthrough. Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought that was the deal. I mean, you poke someone in the eye, tell them to do a scene, and now they have some real emotions in there. They had a breakthrough. Eh, I don't think so. But at any rate, I witnessed a great one, and I want to tell you about it. And then some observations I made about it, what it meant, and how the system works a little. And here are my observations. So in all of those people that I was training, one woman came in, and, you know, if I was going to make an immediate assessment, I'd say she looked like a capable actor and was a little more charactery in her stature and just the way she presented herself. You know, she would, I think if we were casting, we would think of her more as the, you know, the plucky neighbor or the really, you know, quick-witted best friend or something like that, you know. And so then as she started to act, I realized she came from this school of what I run into a lot, and that is the school of acting, where it's all about acting. And that means that, you know, you're going to show me everything you're doing. Interesting observation, you know. You wonder how in these classes all of this phony bullshit just keeps going on. But if you step back, you realize that most classes are really a culture of acting. And acting in, unfortunately, the worst way. And that is that, you know, you kind of have to show me the acting. I have to see it. You can't not show me. If you don't show me, then how do I know you're doing it? Kind of thinking, I guess. Where, you know, you got to show me the shift. And now the look away, the clearing of the throat, the, you know, bad face as soon as the person turns, the trying to come up with the quick thing really quickly, and then show me that's what you were doing. That school, you know. When you have a culture where that's what happens, that's just what you do, you work on your acting, I think, believe it or not, everyone kind of, the actory of it becomes kind of invisible, of course, because that's what we're nurturing. And what we're always trying to do, actually, in these classes, is we're trying to, yes, act and show me and everything, but then what you do finally is you get so slick with it, you see, that you can almost, I almost can't see you doing it. It's really good how you do it. Those are the stars in the class, you know. The ones that you can still see their sleight of hand, but just barely. And that makes them the real clever actors. It's like they're so adept. And that's all well and fine. But of course, as you know, from listening to these podcasts, it's that's not really what we're after here. No, I'll take the stuff that you can't see. I'll take the stuff that when you watch it, it's only in retrospect that you have to remind yourself that what you were just watching was in fact acting. That's what I'm looking for. That way, you see, the actory of it, you see, the acting of it doesn't kind of confuse and murk up the story at all. I don't have to worry about being sidelined with people letting me know they're acting. I can absolutely now fall into the story, take the characters of the people they say they are, and then maybe on the ride home go, geez, that was all acting. I'd be okay with that. And so that's kind of what we strive to achieve in the classes that I teach. I'm not interested in acting at all. I'm allergic to it. Inasmuch as soon as I see it, I know I'm looking at it, and then I stop it, and then we go from there. And so when people come into the class, you know, these adjustments are quickly made. And it is most shocking, of course, for the people at the higher end of that food chain, those people, the stars of those, you know, acting classes that are just steeped in the acting culture, when I quickly point out to them that in fact I don't believe anything they're doing and it looks like acting to me, is always met with surprise, perhaps I should say shock. Because you see, the thing is, when I tell them that I didn't believe them and I kind of confront them like I'm just a person saying, but I mean, if you were telling me that in real life, I wouldn't believe what you were saying, right? And when they look at me, I can see this sobering look in their eyes where they realize, yeah, that's right. I wouldn't do it exactly like this. This is a little phony. There is this sobering period that happens where I see it where in people's eyes because it's just too hard to deny. I'm just being honest and supportive, but I'm saying, come on, that you're acting right now, right? I mean, I can tell you are. Why don't you just actually have the argument? So we start to get it down where I break it down. I say, just don't do that. And it's pretty quick, you see. And then there's the shock. And sometimes it hits people hard because, of course, they feel suddenly foolish, right? They feel foolish because when this way of working and what truth and authenticity actually is in acting is made very clear to them quickly, they wonder how it is they weren't doing that the whole time and thought they were. How could they have been so duped? Because that's how everyone's trained. And when you sit in these classes, even though everyone's looking at the same thing, The lens that we look at it through is skewed because there is an acting culture in these classes that is accepted. The long pauses are accepted. The overwrought look on their faces, all just slightly too much, is accepted. You know, one of the observations I made that I found quite remarkable was that I noticed, because I was had this great influx of all these new faces, you know, coming from all schools of thought, but always about acting. I would notice I'd be talking to them, you know, maybe, okay, so where are you from? What happened? Okay, huh? And how'd you find it? Great, great. Okay, so what do you have today? You know, I'm chit-chat, watching faces. I'm looking at their bodies, how they are, how they hold themselves, the comfort, the way we're chatting. I'm getting through whatever little nerves they might have and, you know, just kind of getting us grounded and everything. And then when they'd start to act, that face would just change and they'd put on their acting face. I didn't mean to do it. They didn't mean to. It wasn't like they thought, oh, I'm going to now really change my face in this really fake kind of quasi-dramatic way. Hence the scene, shall then ye start, you know. I say, hey, man, stop changing your face when we're getting ready to work because it looks fake. It looks like you're putting on a face. And it always happens, I realize. This is what actors do. There's this moment where they're there and for some reason they got to change their face. It has to get tense in that particular way that would best kind of tell us what the scene was about to be about, whether it was despair or anger or something. They had to get it in their face first. And since it was really kind of coming out of nowhere and they were thinking, they were obliged to think that's what you need to do, it looked like we just kind of put on a little, you know, almost realistic little Halloween face. Now we're going to start, so now let me change up my face. I thought, I guess that's what actors do. They think, like, you know, you pay me to act. When you see the face go, start the timer. We're now beginning. I was forever just saying, look, stop that. Just look at me. Look at me. Okay, see your face? It's all comfortable, right? We're just here with each other. Okay, now say your first line over there. You know, it would be that kind of coaxing because I wanted actors to see that, no, we don't have to do that stuff. We just start. Don't worry about making any face. Just start getting on it. Just start pursuing whatever it is that your first lines of the scene are having you pursue. Put your mind where it's supposed to be. Don't do some bullshit little moment before, okay, I'm outside the door. Sadness. Knock, knock, knock. You know, let's not do this acting bullshit. So I noticed that, right? And it just kept making me think that, you know, we are so living in the past. We're all, it's almost like there are Civil War reenactments, this stuff they teach that was made up in the middle of the last century. They keep going over it, like, you know, so we're having like old acting class reenactments. That's what they are. They're old acting class reenactments. You know, when people used to do this and they used to do that. All right, now you, Sammy, Susie, get up here and let's reenact the Civil War acting nonsense. Except that everything's changed. Everything has changed. We don't pursue that kind of acting anymore. It's yet still a new stuff, the hyper-realism, the I don't want to know you're acting. So when people come in and suddenly you're hit with there's no acting discussion, I ask you simple questions about, you know, what's going on in your scene as if it's real life. Why, Barney, are you mad at Fred? What did Fred do? And we just start talking like we're actual people. And then, well, what did that mean to you? And so this particular woman that came in, she seemed troubled. You know, she seemed not in a perfect place in her life. I'll give her that. She seemed complicated, concerned. It's not like I've not seen that, you know. People come in, and if they respect what I do, and they've listened to the podcast or read my book, they're coming there because they think, like, I got x-ray eyes or something. I'm going to tell them the straight dope. I mean, that's what I'm known for, Mr. No Bullshit. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. You know, people come there with slight trepidation. They think, like, somehow I'm going to put the old lie detector on them. We're going to find out they're a phony. That's going to be the worst thing that could ever happen. And, of course, if that were the case, it would be the best thing that ever happened. But I get that. So I get all of that stuff. But this woman was carrying way more grief baggage than just that. And so with our first rehearsals, this woman, she was struggling a bit because she was doing that old school actory, show me everything, show me the moments, show me the beats type of thing that, you know, she had been taught. I could tell that was a thing. I know when I'm looking at just someone's bad concept of acting and someone who's been trained in that particular black art, I can tell. And so when I was stopping this woman immediately and giving her course corrections, I could see it shocked her, it surprised her, it upset her, but she understood what I was giving her and was doing it and was improving rapidly. And that seemed to be almost bothering her initially, because she couldn't deny that what she was now doing was in the right direction, was felt more right, easier, free. But she seemed really consumed with what she had been doing. And so in one of these first few sessions, I was sitting there. I didn't have my glasses on, but she was across the room. But I could feel this energy coming from her face, even blurry. I could see something was up. I put on my glasses, and in the look in her eyes, I could see she was about ready to break. So I said, "Hey, you okay? Is everything all right?" And that was all it took. So I went over to her, put my arm around her. I said, "It's okay. It's fine. This is happening." I could tell that she was a little humiliated. She was having this moment. I said, "This is fine. It's all good. Just tell me what's your concern? What's happening?" And she said, through her bit of wailing, really, I mean, it was a big moment. She said she has spent $60,000 on her education thus far. And that she doesn't know anything. She hasn't learned anything. She's tired. She's so tired. That just broke my heart, thinking that somebody at 30 could just be so tired of life that, you know, that sound. I was just broken by it. I felt so bad for her. And she just felt that all that money she had spent was kind of a waste, because here she was making this realization that essentially what she had been taught, what she knew, what she had been doing was just shit. Man, I have to tell you, it was, you know, I mean, I've certainly seen people have troubles, but it was very moving to see this young lady have this realization and this feel like she had wasted her life, you know, her time, doing all this old bullshit that she saw so quickly was the case. What are you going to say? She's right. She did spend that much money. And, you know, this is what happened. But here we are. So I said, "Look, let's just look at it a different way. Let's change our perspective. How about this? How about we take that $60,000, and then on top of that $60,000, we just add the $400 you just spent with me. All right, so it was $60,400 to get to where you're getting to right now. You did it. It happened. You got there. Money well spent. On top of that, I asked her this. I said, "Look, I'm here now. You've paid for me. You've got unlimited classes. You could come to all of them. Why don't you just do that? Why don't we forget all of this stuff and just open your mind and let's just take it from here and see what happens?" I also asked her to take these feelings she has, all of this stuff, all of this tumult, any humiliation, regret, whatever, personal problems, and leave them outside the door every day. They'll be there waiting for her when she gets out. No one ever steals other people's personal problems. They will greet you like a dog licking your face. They will be there for you. But in this room, let us just pursue what you've now identified as a true course, and let's see what happens. She certainly accepted that right then. And then the next day, the most extraordinary thing happened. This other woman that looked a lot like the woman that had left the room the day before came bouncing in to the rehearsal room the next day. I mean, I was almost rubbing my eyes like in a cartoon, you know, like, you know, what? I can't tell you the difference. I'm going to try to explain it to you, but it was evident to all the people that happened to be there for those first few classes and saw all of that transpire. She became a different woman completely, just full of hope and joy. She was completely connected to herself, because suddenly her quick wit came out. She was incredibly funny, fast on her feet, and her work just went from, well, I don't want to say 0 to 60, so I'll say from 12 to 60, it just shot to the point that other people in class couldn't wait for her to get up to do her scene because they were going to see her do some really fun stuff, including me. She was entertaining me suddenly. And it made me think about this. You know, sometimes people can be the character that is just left or right of center. And those parts, you know, sometimes they're hard to get. They can be great parts, but sometimes those parts can be hard to get, right? Because you're not in the mainstream. You're kind of a character. Now, what are we going to do with this character? When she brought in this whole new attitude, I found her to be so radiating with joy that I realized that the way that the people get from A to B in this business sometimes is by being someone that other people will just look at, see your talent, and you're such just a natural joy. I mean, you're just a good person. You just radiate rightness. And I thought, this is what happens, you see. And suddenly, because my mind kind of shifted back to when I used to produce and direct the television and my theater, and I thought, these kinds of characters, they are such a joy to have around you. Suddenly you say, you know what, I'm going to find a place for you. We don't need the guy to play that part. We're going to make her you because I want this person on the project because this person is a joy to be around. It was an amazing transformation, and every day I worked with her, it just brought me so much joy because through her own doing, she saw the light, saw what she needed to do, found such a freedom and joy in her work, and everything she brought in the room was unencumbered with acting. It was just joy right from her soul. She was, you know, and of course, she stumbled a bit here and there. We had things to talk about. You know, there were things we could do, but her method of work changed. But I have to say, most importantly, her demeanor. And then you realize how it all works, man, because you know, when you're in that kind of headspace, your work is easier and you're smarter and you're more courageous and you have more self-confidence, and it all starts feeding in this cycle, feeding on itself, and it just starts going. And it's almost like you can do no wrong, man. You're like made of bubble wrap. You can't get hurt. You just keep going forward. It was quite amazing. You know, I told her, I said, when I first saw you, the character Big Pen in Charlie Brown, how the character always travels with this, like these lumps of dirt around it as it went along. I said, that was kind of how you looked when you came into the room, except it wasn't dirt. It was sadness. It was stress. It was problem. And you kind of brought that in, brooding, just looked complicated, not user-friendly. This was the transformation, seeing that person turn into this lithe human being with so much energy and fun and spunk, so courageous. In 38 years, to the best of my recollection, that was the biggest, quickest transformation I'd ever seen. And I've seen a few. But that character change, that personality change, that new joy for life change, was remarkable. And it spoke to everything that is right and wrong about the way we approach acting and how we see things. It's why I'm always preaching about you got to get in the right headspace, you know, find your equilibrium, make sure that you can feed yourself, don't stress. There is a thing that you have when you are centered, when you have joy for life, when you are just kicking it, going for it, you're just voracious about your joy for life and the way you attack. It not only brings your work up, but it is an incredibly attractive life force. And people hire you for that, not just because you'd be great to have at their barbecues, but because they know that stuff comes off the screen. And it's a main reason we watch. We like the way it makes us feel. That's where the gold is. With that, you do a really great acting job. you do a real great job of being authentic and telling a great story. That's what I have to say today, folks. It was a joy being in Toronto. I'll be back there in February to do another 2-week stint. I've got my studio there now that I can use each time. In the meantime, don't forget about Vancouver. And all of you listening in Australia, I'll be there in November. Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and the Gold Coast. You can send me an email or you can look on the website. Thanks so much for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.